It's kind of exciting for me this morning to be able to introduce to you Mark Parker. And I've told you all about Mark before. So Mark was the one that was instrumental in us coming to Thunder Bay in the first place. And so I met Mark in a parking lot at Kingswood University, didn't know each other, had a conversation, and by the end of that conversation, we were talking about Thunder Bay. And then God led this way, and it was really, really exciting. And so Mark is head of church planting for the Central Canada District, really just visionary guy, has a passion to see people come to know Jesus, which is why I really like him. And he's also my boss, and so I got to tell you, he's buying pizza for everybody today, but I'm going to go out and pick that up, because I got it from Little Caesars, which they don't deliver, so I just didn't want you to think that I was getting mad at something Mark was saying, and I was throwing it out of the room. Okay, so when I get up and leave, it's because it's out of the benevolence of his heart providing pizza for everybody, it's not because I'm mad at what he's saying. Okay, so I just wanted to make that clear before he comes up.
Good morning, everyone. And I hope you're okay with me recruiting this guy. And, before I get into my message, I want to say how much of a delight it is to be here with you this morning. And those that know me, they know that I've been tenacious about believing that God is going to do incredible, magnificent things in the city of Thunder Bay. And those that are my boss over me and my board, and they get so sick and tired of me because I keep telling them about Thunder Bay, Thunder Bay, Thunder Bay. Yeah, we got to be in the heart of the country, and that's where we need to be. God is calling us, and so I can't tell you how absolutely thrilled I am that to be able to be here and to be with you, and just to have been a part of this journey that's happened over the last little while. So today I want to share with you a message about a subject that I think is absolutely incredible if you are truly going to be a transformation church. If you're truly going to sort of rock this community in for Christ in a way that is honoring to the Lord, I want to share with you a subject that I think is absolutely imperative that we grab a hold of, that we digest, and that we take in so deeply in our life if we're going to really make a big impact in this community. And so I want to share with you a message entitled, How to Be a Worshiping Church. How to Be a Worshiping Church. Now, the Super Bowl, how many of you know what the Super Bowl is? Put your hand up if you know what the Super Bowl is. Great, great. See, even in Thunder Bay, you know what the Super Bowl is. Don't be shy. So the Super Bowl happened recently, and of course, when the Super Bowl comes along, everybody gets nuts. Even the people who are non-sports fans go nuts. And you say, well, who are you cheering for? I don't know. I'm just excited about the Super Bowl. Maybe the commercials or something like that. And so they get excited about the Super Bowl. And I'm gonna make a confession here this morning. I don't normally say this publicly because I might get hurt, but I am really, are you ready for it? I am really a non-sports person. Wow, I'm gonna survive this one. I'm gonna survive it.
We're forgiving.
We're forgiving, hallelujah. There we go, I know I'm in the right place. But I'm really a non-sports person, so when I see people getting all excited about a sporting event, I think, okay, that's all right. But you know what? I want to show you, every now and again, I come across something, every now and again, that even gets a non-sporting person excited. So Megan, if you would show that clip, and let's just watch this again.
Yes.
Let it come in hot. Sports people, you see this? This is incredible. Wow, that's an incredible clip. That's absolutely incredible. I mean, can you make that face like that little kid did? You know, just kind of stretch it out big. You know, even for us non-sports people, there are things we get excited about. But this morning, I want to share with you something that's even more exciting than that. Way more exciting than that. And it's awesome, but this is absolutely incredible. Let me read for you Psalm 96. It's not my text for my message, for those who are trying to follow along. But Psalm 96, and I'm going to read it from the message. I know it's a paraphrase. It's not a translation, so don't email me. Don't text me. I'm not going to answer those emails. I'm not going to answer those texts. But I'm reading it from the message today, and it says, sing God a brand new song. Earth and everything in it, sing. Sing to God. Worship God. For God is great and worth 1,000 hallelujahs. Bravo, God. Bravo. Everyone join in a great shout. Encore. In awe before the beauty. In awe before the might. Bring gifts and celebrate. Everyone worship. Get out the message. God rules. Let's hear it from the sky, the earth joining in, and a huge round of applause from the sea. Let the wilderness do cartwheels. Let animals come and begin to dance, and put every tree in the forest within the choir. An extravaganza before God as he comes. Folks, even more excited than a Super Bowl, even more excited than all that, is when God's people catch a glimpse of who God is and begin to worship him with all of his glory, with all of his majesty. You can't be silent, you can't be dead, you become alive in an incredible way. And so I think today, as we begin to think about how to make an impact in this community, as we think about the future of Transformation Church, I submit to you that the future of Transformation Church will be exciting and strong and healthy and vibrant and alive, not because you have the latest hip pastor leading, and Nathan is that, he's that and more. Not because you're going to have smoke and lights and all the things that sometimes churches get into today, but folks, we need to remember that what makes us an exciting and transformational church is when we learn how to worship in here first before we go out there into the community. When we learn to give God first place in every single aspect of our life, and then we become truly a church that is able to explode and see God's power and his presence work out from amongst us. And so today, I want to encourage you, even in this one message I have, because he may not invite me back, but in this one message that I have, I want to encourage you more than anything, please be a worshiping church, an extravaganza before God and giving him the glory that he deserves in every way. That is the most important thing you could do. It's not the coffee, it's not the cookies, it's not the pizza we're serving later, but it's saying thank you, Lord. Amen. Worshiping him, even with our flaws and failures, and say thank you, God. So, the word worship today, I want to remind you, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I'm going to go quickly. I am still pastoring my own church. I do serve as the director of church multiplication. I do a lot of traveling, a lot of moving, but I still have my own church family. And I usually preach, my message is a good 2 hours. But I'll try. Some of you are going, oh my land, I'm running for the door. I'm bolting right here now. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm going to try and condense this message down, and I just want you to catch the heart of it today. And so we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, and I just encourage you to put your finger there, or if you're using your digital device, go ahead and use that as well. There's nothing wrong with that. And we just need to look at the Lord's word. And just while you're turning there, I want to remind you that the word worship is an old Anglo-Saxon term that literally, when read, means worth ship. W-O-R-T-H, worth ship. And which means just what it says. It means to give worth or honor to someone or something. Of course, the greatest thing we can do as a church is to give honor to the Lord. And so when it comes to worshiping God, we need to ask ourselves, when it comes to being a part of a worshiping church, what is the appropriate amount of worship that God deserves? Well, I think, just like this video clip that I showed you today, I think when our God's people come together within a church service, our God deserves an all-out ruckus celebration of who He is. And so when it comes to worship, my wife says to me, she says, you know, Mark, you're a bit of a stiffy. Worship for me is I might get a little bit of a move, but you know what? It just causes people around me to laugh. But I think if I could do it and not look silly, I would just have an all-out ruckus celebration of who God is. And I know for those who are sort of the hyper people who say, you know, we want to get the ribbons and the banners out and whipping them around and everything. And of course, I had a lady come to me recently. She says, Pastor, can I bring out the ribbons and begin to worship? I said, yeah, you can, but you're going to do it in the other room downstairs. And I said, but no, go right ahead. Help yourself. And sometimes we get into it. But you know what? Our worship sometimes becomes so stiff and so formal that we forget about this extravaganza of glory that we need to give to God. When we get to heaven, folks, even us stiffies are going to have to loosen up and realize, wow, we're going to throw our crowns before the throne. We're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to do it for a long time. But you know what? It's going to be great. Going to be great. And so we need to worship Him with everything we have within us. Like those fans within the video, our God deserves an all-out ruckus celebration of who He is. And that's the kind of worshiping church that Transformation Church needs to be. Amen? Okay. If someone's asleep next to you, just elbow them real hard, okay? Real hard. So in Acts chapter 2, where I've asked you to turn, we have probably one of the clearest pictures of what the church should be within this passage. And I want to read it for you this morning. And Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 42. And I'm reading from the New International Version. So it is a translation, all right? So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. I love that. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, not just Sunday morning for an hour, but every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And look what happened when they did that. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If you want transformation to happen within Thunder Bay, it happens, I think, inside the church first, before it overflows into the community. When we learn to recognize God and put Him first place in our life, then the transformation and the power of the living God is released. But it's not going to happen until we learn to do that. And so within this passage, within this Acts chapter 2, there are four things that really, I preached a series of messages on this, but I'm not going to do that this morning, all right? This is a one-off message, so don't worry about it. In this passage, it talks about being a learning church, a loving church. It talks about being a worshiping church, which I'm going to talk about this morning because I think it's one of the most misunderstood things about what the church ought to be. Talk about being a worshiping church. And then it also talks about being a sending church. In other words, reaching those that are far from God. So in this passage, we're going to look at what does it mean to be a worshiping church. And that's the message I want to leave with you today. And I want to give you three things. First of all, I want to talk about what is the profile of a worshiping church. What does it look like? I'm going to talk about the power behind a worshiping church. And then I want to talk about what is it that we're to do as a worshiper? What is our practice that we need to be involved in? So let's go through this here this morning. First of all, let's talk about the profile of a worshiping church. And again, as you look back at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and verses 46 to 47, it says this: they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Again, every day, in an impromptu, spontaneous ways, they gathered and they began to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And when it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and they did it in the temple courts, and they did it, and they did it in their homes, they had times of communal worship together. They celebrated God, and they celebrated in different ways. They celebrated around different things. And so, as we look at being a worshiping church, it's not about being religious. Matter of fact, religion probably has done more harm in our world than a lot of things. But you know what? God never intended to be religious. He intended to have a relationship with you and I. It's not about being religious. And so they were not a group of religious people who were sort of gathering for services. They were people who were in just a very natural way were responding to what God was doing in their lives. They were like raving fans at a football game. And they were choosing to show up and to show their team how excited they were. In their worship in the New Testament, they were not passive participants who were kind of stuffy, lifeless, or dead in their rituals. They didn't just go through the routine of going to church. They were excited about their God. Are you excited about who God is? I hope you are. I don't ever want you to be a part of a church or an organization that forgets about what it means to give God the glory and to be excited about this opportunity we have to be a part of His kingdom. And so, what is our response to what God is doing in our lives? Are we a worshiping church? As Christ followers, most of us tend to worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. And that's not the way it's intended to be. And if we choose to go that way, it will never result in a life that really transforms our lives, and it will never ignite our hearts on fire. It will never ignite our church on fire so that we can make a difference within our community. Even this morning as we gather for prayer here in the basement, even this morning as we talked about how do we reach the lost, all that kept coming to me was the Lord saying, I will build my church. But our role in all of that is to do what? Is to worship Him. Worship Him. I can't explain it, but if you want to change this community for Christ, it happens here and now. It happens as we begin to become and to have the heart of a worshiper. And so, what are some things that worshiping does for us? When we gather together here for a service, what does worshiping do for us when we come together? Let me give you three quick things. First of all, it orders your life around God. Orders your life around God. Every day I find my life gets out of alignment. Every day I find I'm distracted and pulled here and I'm pulled there. And I get so busy doing all this stuff. And at the end of the day, sometimes I think, what have I accomplished? Am I the only one like that? When I come and I gather in a service with other people and I begin to worship, I begin to realize, God, You're there. And my life begins to get back into focus, back into alignment, back into what it's intended to be. And so when we gather here to worship, that's what it's doing. It's helping us to once again order our life around God. And worship reminds us that in our everyday living, it's not about just this sort of horizontal experience around us. It's reminding us that there's a vertical experience as well. And that's learning to look up to Him. Worship is this powerful invasion that comes into our life when we gather together that says, look up. Do you experience that when you come to church? I hope you do. Second of all, worship helps you to encounter and experience God. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, where two or three come together in my name, there I will be with them. And so when you begin to worship, even if it's two or three people, I want you to know God says, if you will do that, I am promising you I will show up. I will be there, God says, where two or three gather in my name. And so God is here, and He wants to be a part of our lives, and He wants to reveal Himself. He's not trying to play peekaboo with us. He's not trying to hide away from us. God loves you. God loves me. And He wants to show up in your life. He wants to show up in your marriage. He wants to show up in your finances. He wants to show up in your struggles with bad habits or addictions. He wants to show up in every single part of your life. But it starts when you begin to worship Him. The third benefit of worship is it helps you to respond to God. And again, it's imagine being in a close, intimate, loving relationship, but you never, ever tell the other person how you feel about them. If I did that to my wife, I'd be, you know, she'd be saying goodbye. So when we have a loving relationship with our God, we need to tell Him in a sincere and an authentic ways that we love Him. And when we do that, God will respond. But here's the bottom line. Even though you have these benefits, the bottom line is this. Even with all those benefits, it's not about what you get out of it when you come to church. What does God get out of you when you come to worship? It's not about you. As we sit here this morning, you may leave the service today and go, boy, I don't know who that guest speaker is, but I hope Pastor Nathan never brings him back. I didn't get a thing out of it. I didn't get a thing out of it. Well, too bad, because it's not about you. It's about Him. It's not about what you get out of it, but what did you bring to give to Him as a gift? That's what it's all about. I can't tell you the number of people who have left church. I didn't get anything out of that service. I just think, too bad. It's all about Him. What did you give Him? What did you give Him? That's why I can go into a church service that is absolutely incredibly boring, and I have decided in my mind that it's not about whether it's exciting or boring or lively. It's about what did I bring to Him. What are you bringing today as you step into Transformation Church? What are you honoring the Lord with? Yes, bring your brokenness. Bring your flaws, your failures, and lay them all down at the foot of the cross. And let His grace sweep over you, speak to you, calm you, strengthen you. Let Him do all that. But what are you bringing to Him? Again, if we start saying, what did I get out of it, we really turn it into more of a focus on ourselves. And if I know my Bible correctly, that's called idolatry. We're not here to worship something else. We're here to worship the living God. So the power of a worshiping church, number two. Going to go through this. The biggest question is that when we begin to worship God and begin to put Him first place in our worship, what happens? I believe if you become that kind of a church, you become a dangerous church. Transformation Church, you want to become a dangerous church, right? Don't worry, we're not going to pull out any guns or anything like that. Nothing. I'm not talking about that kind of dangerous. Michael Jordan was considered one of the most dangerous players whenever he walked onto the basketball court. And what made him dangerous in a good way was that he played in such a way that he was never underestimated. He was never overlooked. He was never taken for granted. Can you imagine if we worship God that way, where we didn't take Him for granted, where we didn't underestimate Him, but we honored Him? Can you imagine the power that would be released in the church if we did that? Folks, when you become a worshiper and you begin to worship with others around you and you become a worshiping church, I believe it's only then that you become a dangerous church. Do you want to become a dangerous church? I want more dangerous churches. I haven't said that to my boss yet, but hopefully he'll be okay with it. But I want more dangerous churches, because dangerous churches are the ones who will see God move because they put Him first and worship Him. Worship makes it about God. And so if it's all about God, then I'm willing to take some risk. If it's all about God, I'm willing to make some sacrifices. I love Pastor Nathan, and I will risk a certain amount for him. I will sacrifice for him, but you know what? I will give everything I have, even my very life, for my living God. And saints down through the ages have been doing that because they learned that when it comes to God, I give Him my all. Second of all, because worship begins to lift up your vision, and when you get frustrated in your horizontal world and you're looking side to side, comparing yourself with the Joneses, comparing your life with someone over here, they got it so much better. When you get caught up in day-to-day living where you're always looking at somebody else, worship comes along and reminds you once again to look up and let God begin to lead you and to shepherd you and show you the way that you need to live your life. And finally, when you become a worshiper and you become a dangerous church, you become a force to be reckoned with by the opposing side. Satan does not want a church getting on fire by worshiping God. They would rather have churches have before, Satan would rather churches be full of potluck dinners and busyness and things and programs and selling this, selling that. But when a church pushes all that aside, not that that's necessarily bad, pushes all that aside and returns to what it should be, a worshiping God, a worshiping church that puts him first, then the enemy pays attention. Then lives that are held in bondage will be released. Then marriages that are broken will be healed. Then those who are in bondage in their finances will be set free. Then those that need a healing in their life through their health, they can be healed. And miraculous signs and wonders, like Acts chapter 2, can happen once again. Yes, even here in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Amen. Folks, we need to be a worshiping church above all. And put the enemy on notice that, you know what? No more. No more are you going to have freedom to hurt the lives of our neighbors. No more are you going to have the freedom to destroy homes and marriages. We're serving your notice, and the way we're doing it is surrendering our all to Jesus. And finally, if that's what the profile and that's what the power can be through a worshiping church, what is it that you and I need to do as a worshiper? And I'll finish with this. What is your practice? What is your practice? You and I are called to be worshipers. And as a church is going to be a worshiping church, it has to be full of worshipers. This is what God is calling you and I to do and to be. So there are two things that you need to practice in your life if you're going to be a worshiper in a worshiping church. Number one, you need to show up. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that profound? You need to show up. Can you imagine? So right now, I'm pastoring a church that when I went to it a few months ago, we had about 12 people. It's a church that was struggling. And I love stepping into something like that because I believe that the church is still worth investing in. Amen. I believe the church is still triumphant, whether people believe it or not. And so we went to this church with 12 people, and so over the last few months, we've grown to an average attendance of about 30, but we have about 60 people that are actually call themselves a part of our church, which is called Spotlight Church. And and when I was sharing with them, talking to them, I said, you know what, folks, if we're going to change this community, and I said, we've got about 60 people who says, yeah, that's my church, but we only have 30 people on a given Sunday show up. I said, there's a big disconnect. There's a big disconnect. I know that people get sick. I know there's shifts that people are working and their jobs. There's all kinds of legitimate reasons. But I want to encourage you, as you think about building the right habits into Transformation Church, as you think about the kind of church you want to be, one of the best things you can do is show up. Is show up. And the Bible talks in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. It says this. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. Then skipping down, it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And I think one of the things here in North America, a habit that we need to break, is looking at church as something that's optional and not really important. Gathering with other believers is absolutely critical. It's critical. It's not something that should be taken lightly. I chair an organization called World Hope Canada, and we're in 18 countries of the world, and we're all kinds of things. Do you realize that on almost a weekly or daily basis, a daily basis, but mostly weekly, people are laying their lives literally on the line in other parts of the world just so they can gather like this? But sometimes we take it for granted. Oh, I'll go to church if mom doesn't come over and show me her hangnail. I'll go to church if Susie, if she drops by and wants to have coffee, I'll just skip church and we'll have coffee with Susie. Folks, we need to realize the greatest thing you can do if you want to be a transforming and dynamite church within this community is show up. Can you imagine what the community will say if this place becomes so full that after church you spill out that door and you spill out that door and the kids come roaring out and the place is abuzz with people pouring out of the building. The community is going to go, man, what is happening? CBC will show up and do live coverage just to see what's happening. Wow, there's a church that was dead, but now it's alive. That will transform our community. But one of the simple things is just show up. And we need to be reminded, and I wouldn't even say these things if it wasn't really important, that if we're going to please God, we need to come together in corporate worship. Yes, you can do it privately, but you need to be together. I don't know about you, but some Sundays I go to church and I'm pretty grumpy. Sometimes I don't want to go to church. My alarm on Sunday morning goes off at 5:45 to get to the hotel and set everything up. And some days I don't want to go. Can I say that out loud? I don't want to go. But you know what? When I get there and I begin to talk with the people and I begin to hear stories of what God's been doing in their life and I begin to meet new friends that I've never met before and I begin to have a cup of coffee and begin to become connected with someone who says, hey, I got an old tire at my house that can help you out with that. And you begin to interact and you connect one another. When I leave service, it's like, man, this is great. And I haven't even talked about worshiping God yet. I'm just connecting with his people. What a great thing can happen. Then finally, the last thing is that when you worship, you need to do it in spirit and in truth. In spirit and truth. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, Jesus declared, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. He's looking for you. He's seeking you. Are you worshiping him in spirit and truth? What does that mean? What does that mean? What it means is this, is when we worship who? We should be concerned about who we worship. We should be concerned about who we are as worshipers. Who we worship speaks of truth. We need to make sure that we don't worship some false idea of who God is. We need to make sure that we don't substitute God for something else. We don't turn the Ten Commandments into the Ten Suggestions or maybe Ten Top Hints. But we begin to understand who the God of the Bible really is. Yes, he is holy, majestic, righteous, but he's one that loves you and will stick closer than a brother to you. He is your friend, but he's also your heavenly Father. We need to make sure that we worship who he is and that we're true about that, our idea of God. And it's amazing to me some of the warped understandings that people have about God. And we need to be careful of that. And I can't go into it too much more than that. But what about who we are? What kind of worshipers are we? The Bible says that if we're going to worship in the right spirit, our spirit needs to be one that is sincere, one that is genuine, one that is authentic. I don't think the world is looking for all the glitz and the glamour when it comes to church. They're just looking for something that's real. Are you real? I go to churches where if I'm speaking right now, I've got smoke coming up from behind me. I've got lights that are going. And sometimes I think, boy, I guess I just kind of feel like an entertainer in some ways. And I don't mind it. I love smoke and lights and I love all that stuff. I don't have a problem with it. As long as real worship is taking place. But we as worshipers need to be genuine, sincere, and authentic. Is that what you're bringing to him this morning? Today, the greatest thing I could ever encourage you to do in the short time that I'm here is to encourage you to be a worshiping church. And I close with this story. It's an old story about a man who went to church. And when he went to church, an angel went with him as his guide. When they went into the church, the man and the angel saw that the church was full of people. But there was something strange about the service that day. The band, the worship team, played their fingers over their guitars and drums and did all those things, but there was no sound. The choir rose to sing and their lips began to move, but not a sound was to be heard. The pastor stepped to the pulpit and read from the Bible, but the man with the angel could not even detect even any sound of anyone else rustling pages or anything else. And the Lord's Prayer was recited that day by the entire congregation, but not a single syllable was audible. The pastor again went to the pulpit, and the man watched as the minister did this and did this as he gestured through his whole message, but not a sound was heard. Nothing was heard. So he turned to the angel, and the man said to the angel, says, "I don't understand. What does all this mean? I see a service is happening. I see it all, but I can hear nothing." And the angel replied, "Well, you hear nothing because there is nothing to be heard. You see, you are seeing the service as God sees it. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." I want to encourage you today, not in a negative way, but I want to encourage you, when you go to church, take your heart with you. And when you begin to see the songs that are on the wall behind you, and I know we're a little off the wall here, but when you see the songs on the wall, make them your songs. When the words are being sung, make them your words. When the prayers are being prayed, make them your words. When the scripture is being read, let it speak to you personally. When the minister gives his message, let it be a message where you say, "Lord, I'm open to your whisperings. I'm open to your promptings. I'm open to your leadings." And that's what a worshiping church does. And if we would do that, if we would worship him with our heart, that's really what God is asking for. So my question to you today is, as you become a part of this brand new church called Transformation Church, what is your habit? Do you want it to be a transforming presence within this community? I submit to you, if it's going to happen, it'll start here first. And it will spill over out there. Is that your habit? Is that your desire? I hope it is. Let's stand together, and Pastor Gene's going to come and lead us in a closing song. And then we're going to share some fellowship together downstairs, and we're going to have pizza together. Don't tell my boss that I bought pizza, all right? But we want to say thank you for being a part of the Wesleyan Church family. We want to say thank you for being a part of the God's kingdom, a worshiping kingdom. And let me pray for you in closing. Lord, speak to our hearts today. There is so much to be said about what it means to be a worshiping church. But my simple prayer is this, that for every single person that's within this service, that somehow you would inspire them, you would encourage them, and remind them that the greatest thing they could ever do in their life is to worship you with all their heart. And so, Father, if there's someone here today who needs to once again lay their life before you, if there's someone who simply needs to whisper in their heart, "Lord, here I am. Have all of me," may we be willing to do that. Thank you for the fellowship that we're about to have downstairs. And Lord, that's even a part of our worship, the way we interact with one another. Bless the food. Bless everything that takes place. Let it be honoring to you. And so, Father, as we close out this service, let your spirit continue to lead us. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.